Is your record running?
It will be in just a few moments. Okay. Am I coming through right at your end?
You're a tiny bit, a bit distorted, but just a tiny bit overdriven, as if you're...
How about that?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be fine. Yeah. And you're recording at your end anyway, so... Yeah.
Yeah. Just going to adjust where I've got the microphone sitting.
It's fun watching this guy in America hitting exactly the same error message as I was.
Over and over again. Well, at least you know it's not you.
Yeah, indeed. You know this should keep him happy all day. I'm keeping someone in a job here by reporting these problems.
All right. I'm just going to see if I can... Is that audio just a little bit loud? No, it's not too bad, actually. All right.
Yep.
Recording in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone, to...
Sorry. I messed that up. Recording in 3, 2.
Welcome, everyone, to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 151. We're recording this on Thursday, the 27th of August, 2015. I'm Steve Litchfield. With me, Rafe Blandford.
Yes, hello everybody. Time for another of our weekly podcasts. We're kind of getting back onto schedule now that the summer seems to be truly over. Here in London, it's been raining buckets the last few days, so it's feeling suitably appropriate time to do some podcasting.
Absolutely. And if I sound a tiny bit distracted during this podcast, we're doing... I'm living permanently in beta stroke alpha stroke preview land, Rafe. I've got the Windows 10 mobile preview on about 5 different phones now. And on my right here, I've got a Windows 10 laptop also running the very latest tech preview of Windows 10 on the desktop. And that's having all sorts of problems. So, and someone in America is actually controlling it from Microsoft Tech Support. So it's all happening around me here. It's very exciting.
You're living the dream, Steve.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Hopefully people will have appreciated. I'm living the dream on behalf of them on the articles on the site. I've now done the Windows 10 mobile living with it articles on both the 930, i.e. the top end, the 830, the mid end, and now with the 630, which is kind of the lower, higher budget end, if you like, and in each case reporting on performance. And I don't know whether you saw my latest 630 one, Rafe, but it's pretty smooth, really. I know the screen's a lower resolution, but with only half a gig of RAM, it actually runs not too bad.
Yeah, that's right. And it does seem to have improved with some of the earlier builds, because I can remember trying it. It wasn't actually on a 630. It was a similarly spec device. And it was a little bit sluggish. And, you know, it said at the time that it was probably because it was, you know, hadn't been optimized for that particular device. But one assumes as the builds go on, that sort of being improved slowly. And it does seem that these sort of 512 megabyte devices that aren't the very oldest kind of Windows Phone 8 devices are going to be okay. The usual caveats will apply in that it's not necessarily going to be every single piece of functionality, and I suspect that'll be more true going forward, because of course with Windows 10 Mobile, what we're expecting to see is a bit of a change. There won't be these big major releases in quite the same way. There'll be a lot more going into the apps and things like that, so it'll be interesting to see how long those older devices keep up. And it was interesting to see your living with articles, the whole series actually, Steve. It kind of brought home to me how Windows 10 Mobile now does feel ready for prime time, which is probably, as we were saying last week, right on track, given that every indication now is we'll see the kind of the first devices launching, and I use that word first devices sort of with that a kind of asterisk, if you like, in October. But you know, that is all a positive sign, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Although, of course, I would caveat all my articles with the fact that the current latest build, 10512, does have this rather annoying lock screen stroke start screen delay bug, whereas every single device, there's kind of this latency before you get going or go back to the start screen, which kind of obscures any other kind of latencies. So although I would say this performance is smooth in all these devices, until they've got rid of that bug in the next build, then we won't really know for sure. But I would say that I'm optimistic, and that there are a few glitches. I noticed today, for example, that the new version of Netflix doesn't work on Windows 10 Mobile, which is rather annoying because I watch that rather a lot. So there are loads of things being sorted out, but I would emphasise the timescale. Now, we've talked in previous podcasts, Rafe, that I was guessing there'll be an event in September, and then the new flagships available in October, and then maybe the over-the-air updates to Windows 10 Mobile would start rolling out in November. Keep up at the back. We're now hearing that the clever money is that the big launch event for these the Cityman and Talkman of devices, of which more in a moment, is now going to be possibly in October, which means everything slips by a month. So in actual fact, to actually perfect these over-the-air updates and get the Windows 10 Mobile finalized, they're actually looking at sometime in November, which means we're still a good 2 or 3 months worth of development and tweaking ahead of us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'd even be a little more pessimistic than that and push it back into the new year. It does depend. I mean, we're kind of basing it off previous performance of when there were updates for 8.1 and the like in the past. I think while we're talking about this subject, Steve, there has been kind of some news from Microsoft about the list of supported devices. I think there's a very big one here, which in one sense is a really big deal. In another sense, actually perhaps not such a big deal because the number of devices that it actually impacts on is going to be relatively small. But I'm imagining you saw this thing about the 4 gigabyte devices.
Yeah, I actually reported on this because it kind of confirmed something I'd found in my previous testing that I could not get the insider's preview on the 530. That there literally was not enough space. And now Microsoft have come out and said that it's not going to be supported. Interestingly, on another page, they do say that you can actually run Windows 10 Mobile on a 4 gigabyte storage device. But I'm imagining there they're talking about literally relaying the firmware from scratch via a PC or some kind of wired connection, or even via SSD, some technique thereby. So certainly for everyday users with a 530 and 4 gigabyte internal, of course, also applies to the HTC 8S and I think perhaps a couple of the lesser name known manufacturers' devices. They will have all sorts of problems, and I imagine those will be excluded from any kind of over-the-air update, at least.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, Microsoft, on various spokespeople on a couple of blogs, have made plans to say they're going to try and get every Lumia device upgraded. Read that what you will. I think you have to look at the officially supported list for the time being. It's also interesting to note, not surprisingly really, that the more recent devices are going to get the update first. So that's things like the 640 and the 640 XL, and then kind of going back, not quite in time order, but very close to it as you go back. And so devices like the 920, for example, and the 820, which were those first generation Windows Phone 8 devices, look to be at the back of the queue. I guess that makes sense because there's likely to be less of them available on the market and people will have upgraded them and maybe using them as secondary phones. Well, occasionally you still see the 920. I would imagine the 1020 is sort of falling into that category as well. So it's not just the low-end device where we're seeing news about this, but certainly things like the HTC 8S, as you say, with the 4 gigabytes of memory, that's really not going to be updated, I think, in all likelihood. With regard to some of the Lumia devices that aren't on that list, as you said, there's some kind of 4 gigabyte versions of it. There are, of course, some 8 gigabyte versions of that variant. It's not quite clear what's happening there, but I think probably the assumption would be if you've got a Lumia device that's got 8 gigabytes of internal memory, it's probably a good bet that you'll get the update, even if you're kind of not on the official list. And as I say, go and have a look at that. There's actually so many different variants now, as you may remember, Steve, that there was actually a specific 530 8 gigabyte version, for example. And there's then the things like the 535, of course, as well. It's not really a surprise. I mean, you've actually called this one right. I was trying to be a bit more optimistic about it and say, Microsoft said, oh, Windows Phone 8 device, that means everything. But actually, reality has kind of hit home a bit. So next time we're talking about updates, listen to Steve more than you listen to me. Nonetheless, it's still the majority of Lumia devices, with the exception of that 530, which, of course, there were an awful lot of.
Yeah, the 1520 is an interesting one because running Snapdragon 800 and, of course, almost identical internals to the 930, which is on the list. So I'm guessing that 1520 might have special treatment in the fact that they were using that a lot to work on Continuum, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe the 1520 is being treated as a separate case, i.e. a device that is actually Continuum compatible and will be kind of treated separately internally at Microsoft. Well, that's kind of interesting. Either that or maybe they just didn't sell very many of them.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to know because the 1520 certainly didn't get pushed in the same way that something like the 925 or the 930 did. I think we've said before it's actually one of the finest Windows Phone devices, especially if you consider it in the context of when it was launched. As we suggested last week, maybe it was a bit on the big side screen size, but yeah, it's peculiar to see that. But generally, I think it's safe to say that Microsoft will have prioritised this on the basis of the people it thinks is going to update, and of course, the number of devices out there. Which is why there's probably more emphasis on the mid-tier and the high-end devices. Typically, you'll be more likely to update. But yeah, I guess a lot of 520 and 530 users might be feeling a little bit cheesed off by this, because the implication earlier on was certainly they'd be getting the update. On the other hand, I do wonder how many of those people are genuinely thinking, oh, I really want to get Windows 10 Mobile on my handset right now, when they may have paid, you know, £49 or, you know, something around that figure, maybe up towards £100, depending on when they bought it. That, don't get me wrong, unquestionably, there are people who will be very annoyed by this who own that device. But compared to, you know, if you announce the same thing for 930 users, you know, I think it's a different category. And honestly, if you have one of those devices, I sort of have sympathy for you. And it's kind of, we feel like we do this every time there's a big software update, you know, it feels like someone gets done over. But it's kind of what happens. And given the kind of the size or the scale of this update in terms of the new features, it doesn't really surprise me this happened. I don't want to be too defensive of Microsoft about this, but I have a certain amount of sympathy for both sides, if you like, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. I should also note, if your device is not on these lists and doesn't appear to be getting the over-the-air update within a reasonable amount of time, there is always this insider's preview whereby at any point, including now, you can jump in and try Windows 10 Mobile for yourself and get basically the latest version, whatever that might be. I should also point out that the 1020, which is another device that many of listeners will own, is also a special case. I did a feature about a month ago looking at the implications of what Windows 10 Mobile might bring for that device and whether it'll get forgotten, what the downsides and upsides might be. I think I will revisit that in about a month's time. I'm still veering towards the opinion, Rafe, that the 1020 might even be best left on Windows Phone 8.1 because of the uniqueness of that the Lumia camera on that device and the PureView oversampling. I think if you try and go with the Windows 10 Mobile camera and try and go with some of the defaults, I think the 1020 might actually come a bit of a cropper. So that might be one device to deliberately leave on the older version of the OS.
Yes, I'd agree with that, because there's so much of the custom in the imaging stack on that device. It's certainly worth thinking about. And I would suggest that a lot of people who have a 1020 may well have a second device, certainly by this time. I mean, there are some people I know who still use it as their primary device. It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, when you can pick up the 640, for example, or 640 XL for, you know, £100 or a little bit more than that, and get that as a Windows 10 device, you know, I would make the argument maybe do that and preserve your 1020 as the camera, or it's time to the update. You know, what you get from upgrading that device to Windows Mobile 10 is probably not worth it in terms of what you could potentially lose. I guess it's something we'll try and look at if we can when the time comes along. But I suspect Steve may well be one of those people who wants to keep his 1020 on 8.1.
Yeah, and I'm especially fortunate, as regular listeners will know, I do have two 1020s. So one of them can be running the latest and greatest Windows 10 Mobile, and one can be on the safe 8.1, and I can compare the two directly. So hopefully I'm in a unique position to write these sort of articles.
The poor sacrificial lamb of the 1020. Steve will have to choose which his favourite 1020 is. So that's going to take a while.
Yeah, well, the favourite one is the one I transplanted the new battery and the new screen, etc., into about 2 months ago. Go and see the article.
There we go. Right,
yeah. I did write an article on the site, Rafe, just to veer away from Windows 10 Mobile for a moment, looking at security. Now, you work in a cross-platform environment in your day job, so you're aware of all the various scare stories around Android at the moment, and there's certainly... Android is kind of the symbian of the modern age, really, in that it's relatively open and relatively easy to sideload applications and get hit by all sorts of vulnerabilities and Trojans and whatever. And I wanted to make the point that obviously iOS and Windows Phone are both much more secure because they're much more locked down. You can't just sideload apps. You can't get sent apps via SMS and email, etc. You can't pick them up via Trojans in the store on the whole, because everything's that much more locked down. Now, leaving aside the fact that Windows Phone and the Windows Store generally have got a few dodgy apps, and in terms of people cloning other people's titles, it's... Hello? Did we lose each other?
I did lose you temporarily then.
Ah, what was the last thing you heard me say?
You were talking about clone and dodgy titles.
Ah, the Skype call dropped and resumed. That's odd. Let me start that whole bit again.
Okay.
It cleaner for edit. Right.
If we can just leave a bit of a gap so I can find it.
No, just leave...
Oh, sorry.
Go. leaving aside Windows 10 Mobile just for a moment, Rafe, I did write an article, and like your take on it, on about the fact that I can contend that Windows Phone and Windows 10 Mobile is much more secure than Android. You work in a cross-platform environment, so you've heard all about these Android vulnerabilities and scare stories. And Android is very much the Symbian of the modern age, really, in terms of its extensibility and openness, which is good in some senses. Every application that ever existed is actually available on Android, but there are also dangers that come along with that. And if people who've read the article, hopefully they'll agree with my assertions that partly because Windows Phone is a lower installed market base and a smaller target, and partly because it's more locked down, I contend that actually it's a safe choice if a business wants to get smartphones and they can't necessarily afford a £700 iPhone for each employee, then actually choosing a £150 Windows Phone or Windows 10 mobile device is a pretty darn secure option.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, this. I mean, I do tend to see the three platforms on kind of a sliding scale, with Android and iOS and at the two extremes, and Windows Phone sitting in the middle on a lot of things, and actually security is no exception, and the kind of, you know, quality assurance that gets done by the review teams putting apps through the App Store. But yeah, inherently Android, by being more open, is more vulnerable, and certainly for some of the social engineering and side loading of apps, there's I think it's fair to say it's more vulnerable. I mean, in one sense, I think Windows Phone is made safer by obscurity, almost the fact that it's not very popular is one of the reasons it doesn't get targeted so much. And I suspect there are the kind of zero-day vulnerabilities. And, you know, Windows on the desktop is a good example of this. There are plenty of holes that get found. And because it's so popular, there's so many devices running it, you know, people are going after it, and like going after Microsoft. But the sort of more walled garden approach, or certainly the more sandbox approach of Windows Phone, and this will apply mostly to Windows 10 Mobile as well, does arguably make it safer than Android, and it's certainly closer to the iOS model, although I would say probably not quite so locked down in that respect. But it's a bit of a reverse compliment in some ways saying that, because part of the reason it's not targeted is because it's not very popular. I don't think we should, you know, pretend otherwise. But if you look at the various security models, yes, I think it's fair to say that Windows Phone is, you know, is safe, and you called it by virtue of the small installed base. I would say also, just from a technical point of view, if you look at the things like secure boot and some of the security policies that are in place on Windows Phone and Windows 10 Mobile, do arguably make it safe. And it's one of the reasons why some enterprise companies, and I'm making very broad generalizations, kind of prefer it. That's also because it fits in with all the kind of Microsoft systems like Exchange, for example, and, you know, a lot of the device management stuff that kind of equally applies to. The very fact that Samsung, for example, has to have a product like Knox, and there are equivalents from other platforms as well, to kind of make them secure, and then makes a big deal when they get certified to certain standards and get signed off for government usage or financial or legal usage, I think says a lot about this. But I'd probably at the same time recognize that probably iOS has stolen a bit of a march over everybody here. And is the most secure. But yeah, it's a fair article. It's something that probably Windows and Microsoft don't really get enough credit for. And given there's so much scaremongering around Android, and when I say scaremongering, you know, every vulnerability gets blown up to be a big deal. And it's as with kind of desktop computing, if you follow sensible steps and precautions, you should be relatively safe. But I suppose it's always that sense of vulnerability, or it could happen to me even if I follow all the rules, or I make one mistake, that does leave some people nervous about Android. And of course, you know, it is quite possible for doing things like sending premium SMS or making premium rate phone calls or turning things on and off in the background, you know, getting Trojans onto your phone, because it's, you know, got a device with lots of sensors, cameras, microphones, etc., as well as a lot of personal data on it. You know, it's arguably even more vulnerable or even more dangerous than having your PC compromised.
Yeah, absolutely. When I'm browsing the web on an Android smartphone, which I do quite regularly, you always feel a tiny bit vulnerable. What if I'm going to a page that has to drive by vulnerability probing of some sort. There's always that worry. On a Windows phone, I have to say, especially with Internet Explorer, which is comparatively less capable, you can kind of hit any page on the entire internet and know that nothing's going to really go wrong. At worst, you get a blank page, which is what happens when it goes to some quite normal pages. You get a blank screen, but you're certainly not going to be vulnerable, not going to have your phone taken over or any personal data compromised.
And honestly, I think most people listening to this podcast, it's not a problem for, but you can see on an Android device, you may get prompted to download an APK file. And if you've experimented and, you know, turned off the only install from trusted sources sort of thing, it's not difficult to see how someone might accidentally install some rogue piece of software onto their Android phone. Doing the same thing on a Windows phone device or an iPhone is essentially impossible. You'd have to try really hard to kind of sideload it or having jailbroken something. It's a much more obvious process. And not just that, you know, the concept of sideloading apps on Androids, particularly in some markets where there's either not so good access to the Google Play Store or I guess it would be illegal software is a lot more rife. You know, the concept of sideloading is, I think, a lot more mainstream. And so that's another reason. And that's where I say it kind of gets into some of the social engineering side of this sort of thing. People kind of regard it as acceptable. So when something like that happens, they won't be particularly bothered. If there was something like that appearing in Windows Phone or iOS, I think you'd be a lot more worried about it just because you weren't expecting it. Having said that, there, I am sure just as likely to be bits in Windows Phone and iOS, and perhaps even more so given their closed source nature, where you can send a particular SMS format and it will reboot the phone. We had that with iOS recently. But those kind of problems tend to be more about locking up the phone, making something reboot, rather than kind of the stealing of data or running up big bills. I mean, technically, I suppose it's possible once you are, you know, are able to take over the phone. But in terms of the things we see out in the wild, yeah, and there's no doubt Android's more vulnerable.
Yeah, of course, I have my own strategy for stopping malware running up big bills. I'd choose pay-as-you-go SIMs. So when the credits run out, the bad guys are out of luck. But that's my top tip. It's not practical for everyone. Let's move on, Rafe, to some kind of a sexy, if I may use that word, exciting leaked news today. We don't often post leaked information and leaked images on our site, but in this case, they did seem to be official press renders obtained by EV Leaks, who, of course, is quite famously, I think he's fed press images by the various companies just to create anticipation. In this case, it's the well-known code names CityMan and Talkman, referring to the 950XL and 950, or maybe 940XL, 940, depending on who you talk to. What did you think of the design language there, Rafe? Because I'm looking at the images now. The specifications we've covered in several articles in the past on the site. We'll link to them in the show notes. But for these, well, I use the word flagship in quotes because that's what everyone was expecting. But to my mind, they've kind of gone with the 940XL. Oh, sorry, that the 640XL design language, i.e. that polycarbonate, fairly matte finish, fairly robust body, with, of course, the facility that the entire back can come off and you can replace the battery, which, of course, is something that myself and many other people do appreciate. But at the same time, those people who were looking for a, quote, flagship, as in very premium, very expensive, let's try and compete with the Galaxy S6 and the iPhone 6, I think that they're a bit miffed and disappointed. And the only saving grace I can come up with for your deliberations and thoughts is the fact that I expect these to come in at a significantly lower price, and we'll come to that in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, let's come back to price, but just looking at them, you can see it's kind of the continuation of this polycarbonate material. The only thing I would say, oh, that's bad timing.
The only thing you'd say is sneeze.
Start that again. Yes, these were interesting. I don't think there's any reason to suppose they're not genuine. It looks like the real McCoy, and certainly EvLeaks has a pretty good track record in this regard. And you're right. I was kind of a bit surprised because I was thinking maybe we'd see a continuation of that 830, 930 with metal around the outside and, you know, potentially the polycarbonate back. But yes, it owes much more to the 640. I mean, I would say you can't actually tell until you see them in person what they're like, and there may be something that makes them feel a bit more premium. They certainly look thinner than previous devices, and so I think that in itself, you know, adds a sort of sense of higher end to them. But yes, I think that there are going to be a few disappointed people out there. I also, in just looking at them, I'm not sure they quite have the pureness of some of the earlier Lumia designs, but I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt until I've seen them in person. Actually, it was more the 950 with a camera lens with, it looked like some kind of silver surround on it. Just looked a little bit...
tacky?
Tacky, naff maybe. as I said, discussing leaks is kind of, you're in a hiding to nothing because you don't really know what they're actually like in person. And, you know, I kind of would have preferred to see something like the Lumia branding on the front, but we've got the Microsoft and then the kind of the four squares logo on the back. What's interesting to note is on both devices, there kind of appears to be a camera hump. So that does kind of lead me to think these devices are probably thinner than we may realize from looking at these pictures. And that may be what adds a sense of premium. And to be fair, you know, you go back to something like the 920 and some of those other high-end Lumia devices, and they did feel really premium in quality. And it may be a good thing to actually stand out and be a little bit different rather than to, these metallic phones, of which there are many. And, you know, you think about the iPhone and then kind of some of the Sony devices, the HTC device, and you know, Samsung's moved away from plastics, although I'd say they're very different plastics. And actually, that polycarbonate body that feels like just a unibody, it looks like it may not because you said the back comes off, but it certainly feels incredibly solid in the hand. Actually, it's kind of a signature for Windows Phone and Lumia, so perhaps not a bad thing. And then you come on to the pricing point, and you've speculated a bit about the pricing, haven't you, Steve?
Well, yes, I was trying to imagine what it might be. Now, at the bottom end, we've got 640, the 640 XL, which I think are around, let's call it 120 and 160 for the sake of argument, something in that range, and very good value they are too. At the top end, we've got competing devices, as you say, metal-bodied, premium in capital letters from the likes of the iPhone and Samsung and Sony and HTC, all significantly more than £500. So it's got to be somewhere between those two extremes. There are obviously higher specifications here than the 640 XL, but in it's the general build, the general design is in the same ballpark in terms of materials. So if you take the 640 XL and then bump up the internals and allow for that, I'm going to guess, this is, let's put my finger in the sand, I reckon the 950, which is the Talkman, the smaller and cheaper of the two, will come in at £300, and the 950 XL maybe 350, maybe a bit over that. I suspect I'm underestimating the price slightly, but hopefully by not very much.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, if they did come in at that price, I think a lot of the critics would be silenced, and actually it puts a real marker down in the sand for Microsoft. And, you know, honestly, I think high-end devices are going to head this way. Now, there's always going to be some exceptions, but I do expect a lot more devices in the future to sell at this price point, not least because kind of operator subsidies are becoming rarer and that kind of thing will continue. I would suggest you're probably about £50 off, so I think it might be more like £350 and £400. But that would be launch pricing, and so on the high street after a few months. Perhaps the 300 and 350 isn't so far away. I mean, I'm thinking about the 640 and the 640 XL here, and I can't remember the exact pricing, but it was something like 150 or 175 and then 200, 225. Yeah. And they, as you say, have come down quite dramatically. And it does depend on the market you're on and whether the operator is giving some small subsidy or not. But looking at the specifications, and looking at what's available elsewhere, and actually it brings to mind some of the Chinese devices from Xiaomi, Honor, the Honor 7, the launch I went to today, actually, and they're selling quite high-spec devices at a couple of £100. So it's not unreasonable to think that Microsoft, you know, adding on £100 to allow for some extra features and for sort of, you know, pricing that's a little bit more about the experience and less about the value, you know, that's not unreasonable. There are, of course, room for surprises here because, you know, things like the quality of the screen and the kind of the resolution can have quite a big impact on the, you know, bill of materials. We don't know much about the camera. I mean, we think it's a 20 megapixel unit, but we don't know whether that's a new sensor or something that's going to be a bit more expensive. There's talk of kind of iris recognition for Microsoft Hello, kind of the equivalent to having a thumbprint on, you know, various devices. does that add an appreciable cost? I think in that case it should be pretty small. So I think actually Microsoft and the Lumia line has a bit of form here, because all of the kind of flagship devices, certainly in the 900 series, have been kind of a mark below the highest end devices. So if we think about the 930, for example, it was about £100 off the big flagships. It was £450 rather than £550, and that's actually gone back in the past. I think that actually might be even more true this time. And so, we've been talking about the prices there. It wouldn't surprise me if we're still out a bit and we're just being a bit too optimistic. But even at, say, £350 and £450 or something like that, they would still be very competitively priced. And particularly if the design, as I say, there's a few feelings that make me think this feels a bit shoddy or a bit naff. But often, to be honest, I've seen press renders and leaked things and thought, I don't really like the look of that. And then it turns out that I really liked it. And so until you see them in person, you can't really pass judgment. And I think one of the best examples of that is actually the 830 and the 735, both of which, when I first saw, I thought, not really sure about those, but actually ended up being two of my favourite devices in terms of the design and the way they felt in the hand. And that goes right back to kind of the fabulous design language, the original kind of N9 and the Lumia 800. So I just wonder whether, with all the changes that we've had in Microsoft acquiring Nokia and then the various job losses, whether some of the designers have moved on and some of that, deft touch with the finished design feels like it might have been lost. I think maybe reading too much into that, and it is the ugly camera on the 950 that's making me think that, because I look at the 950 XL and it kind of goes away. But we'll have to see. I mean, that's a very long-winded way of saying not really sure yet, Steve.
Okay. I mean, in my opinion, the price has to be the biggest selling point, because we've got a very competitive, very, very competitive marketplace. You've got Samsung, the new Galaxy S6, the S6 Edge and various variants, the new Note 5, for example. These are all ultra-premium devices, and they're obviously very expensive. The iPhone's exactly the same. And Microsoft have got to come in and compete with that. And on the shelf, they've got to say, why would someone go for an unknown, quote, unknown device from Microsoft running this operating system they're not entirely sure of, because they've basically been using Android for the last 3 years? Why would they give this a chance over, say, a Galaxy S6? And the answer surely has to be not all the wonderful tech inside that you and I both appreciate, and as you say, the things that might bump up the bill of materials. It has to be, hang on a minute, this is £250 cheaper, and it's offering a QHD screen and everything else I want. Okay, maybe I'll give this Windows 10 mobile thing a punt. And that's where I'm thinking, I'm just dreading Microsoft launching this at, say, £430 and £499, close enough to things like the Galaxy S6 that people think, well, hang on a minute, I'd rather have a Galaxy S6. Android and Samsung are two names I know, and I'm not going to give Windows 10 mobile a punt. At 300 and 350 or 350 and 399 maybe, then I think there's enough of a price differential that the price itself, not for the first time in Windows Phone history, becomes the selling point.
Yeah, agreed. And the thing is, I think it's absolutely something that seems a reasonable thing to do, because I've been using the 830 essentially as my main device, and I really haven't missed having what would essentially be a high-end device, because it was able to do everything I wanted to do. It had a very good camera on it. The screen was good enough. And sure, when I use something like a Galaxy S6 Edge or an iPhone 6, I appreciate it being really nice, but there's just not enough value there for me justifying buying it as a personal device. And these are obviously going to be a step up over the 830. We've been talking about this for a while, haven't we, Steve, that actually the mid-tier becomes the kind of the new valuable device, because it's that combination of value and features that just seems to work. And I think all the other devices we're seeing, the reason that Samsung has suffered a little bit in the last year in the face of Xiaomi, Huawei and ZTE and a whole bunch of the other firms, is because people are able to get what feels like a pretty high-end experience for a lot less money. And so maybe it's actually the smart thing to do. And as you say, it'll certainly make it stand out a bit from those high-end devices. So wait and see. But I'm pleasantly surprised by this. And actually think it might be cleverer than I first thought, now I've had an opportunity to think about it.
Yeah, and I suppose we should throw into that mix the device you mentioned earlier, that Honor 7, which was announced today as we record the podcast on the Thursday. It's £250 for a 1080p screen and a pretty high-end processor, and really an excellent display, excellent camera, excellent speakers, and premium metal build in that case. And the marketplace is so competitive that even the likes of Samsung are really struggling with the devices that we've just mentioned, you know, the S6s and so of this world, because at the prices they're pitching them at, they're basically losing, they're going to lose market share because there's such tremendous competition in this mid-range. So the closer the 950 and the 950 XL can get to the upper end of that mid-range, I think the better they'll do. But we must move on, Rafe, because we're running out of time, and I wanted to mention a few other stories, if that's all right. The Arcos, a French manufacturer, they're famous for doing tablets and media players and so forth, but they have been doing some smartphones. They have just announced a Windows 10 mobile device, which is who? So the Arcos 50 Cesium, 5-inch HD, I guess that means 720p screen. We're looking at a Snapdragon... I'll put a pause in there. Let me start that item again. I found the specs. Sorry, Rafe. Yeah. Give me a clap. But I want to tear you away from this topic, Rafe. We want to get through a few more stories before the end of the podcast. A new Windows 10 mobile device has been announced. This is exciting. The French brand Arcos, they've usually specialised in media players and tablets and so off, but they have done a few smartphones. They've just announced the Arcos 50 Cesium. There's also an Android version as well, showing that they can do dual duty on their hardware. The 50 Cesium, I presume to be announced and available in a couple of months' time, is a Snapdragon 210 chipset. So we're looking at sort of a Lumia 535 performance, a gig of RAM though, which is good. A 5-inch 720p display, 8 gig of internal, good, plus micro SD. 8 megapixel rear camera and a 2100 milliamp hour battery. So distinctly lower mid-range or upper budget specifications. I'd put this in the same class as the sort of Lumia 640, Rafe. Does that sound about right to you?
I think maybe given that it's running the Snapdragon 210, which admittedly we don't have much experience of on Windows Phone, it may be slightly lower than that, maybe more towards the 530 or the 540 series.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting one. I mean, I feel this is a bit of a swizz announcing it as a Windows 10 mobile handset because, yeah, it will be in due course, and presumably when it comes out of the market, it's going to skip Windows Phone 8.1 altogether. But actually, this is just another example of one of those sort of second, third, or fourth tier, depending on the way you see Arcos manufacturers doing one of these reference designs off Windows Phone. But I suppose encouraging that actually it's been obviously continued to be updated and that there's now going to be a version for Windows 10 mobile. But, you know, you look at some of the other specs, and, you know, there's actually a few things to be positive about. You know, the gigabyte of RAM, a 720p display, you know, it's got the 8 gigabyte of storage rather than cutting that down, micro SD, and it's quite a bit to like there. And compared to some of Arcos's first efforts on Windows Phone, feel that this is a bit more of a rounded device. And I think much will depend on the software integration, as you've commented when reviewing these kind of devices in the past. But yeah, for £99, and presumably that will drop down a bit once it reaches the high street, it could be an interesting option for a Windows 10 mobile device, especially if Microsoft is sort of cutting the number of devices it's doing and maybe, you know, doesn't have something right at that low-end price point, or maybe, I shouldn't say right at low-end because we think they will have one there, but something just a little bit above that. So be interesting to see how these third-party or third-tier manufacturer devices fill in around the rest of the Lumia range.
Yeah. Of course, we've got the Yez devices here. I reviewed them about 6 months ago, and I wasn't terribly impressed. As you say, the hardware was pretty decent, but they're really, really let down by the software integration and the way the software tied in with the hardware, which you wouldn't expect for a Windows Phone. You'd have thought that the OS would be more or less locked down for each screen resolution and so forth. But I think Yez just did a very, very poor job in terms of quality control. And I think I expect more from Arcos. They've got a bit more experience, and they're certainly a big brand name in Europe. And so, I'm looking forward to seeing this Arcos device in due course. One final story before we finish, Rafe. My camera comparisons are legendarily popular. It's why you keep me around, I think. I did get a chance to look at the Moto X Play, and which has the same camera as the Moto X Style. So basically, these are the 2015 Motorola Android flagships, and their cameras at 20 megapixel, shooting at 16 megapixel and 16:9 aspect by default, seem to match up so exactly to the likes of the 1520 and 930. I thought, well, I can't resist the chance to do a comparison. I have to say, Rafe, looking at the comparison photographs, it really shows again that despite the 930's age, that those Nokia engineers, in terms of the Carl Zeiss optics and the quality of the algorithms, the quality of the electronics and the image processing, it kind of knocks spots off Motorola, really. And it's surprising because 2015 sensors in general have been doing very well. The LG G4, LG's engineers obviously know what they're doing and produces stunning results. But for example, the HDR mode, of course, rich capture in Lumia parlance, it was absolutely terrible on this Motorola device. I guess that this is early days for the Motorola. You could say, well, okay, Motorola will rush out patches for the X Play and the X Style, and they'll fix up HDR. But even away from HDR, the photos were still marginally worse than on the 930, which is almost 2 years older. So I guess it just goes to show how far ahead of the game Nokia was at one point, and just hope that Microsoft has retained some of that expertise.
Yeah, it's interesting. There hasn't actually been much information about what's happened to what was the Nokia, now the Microsoft imaging teams. And actually, I think a lot of them have been preserved because some of them are in Tempura, some of them in Espoo, and actually some of the other Nokia sites that were Salo that have been affected. And then there was Lund, which was from the Scalado acquisition. I haven't seen too much on announcement about losses around there. I assume there has been some, but I suspect Microsoft realizes that those people are valuable and perhaps arguably beyond just the Lumia hardware as well. But yeah, I was pretty shocked looking at this comparison. I mean, Motorola doesn't have the best reputation for cameras, if I can be perhaps a little unkind about Motorola. They've never been great in that department. And I think partly the surprise here is we've been spoiled by the number of manufacturers who have stepped up their game. So, Samsung and LG, I think, being the latest of that. Even Sony, to an extent, which always had a very checkered record in this regard. And then I guess there's also people like HTC. And then some of the Chinese manufacturers, the likes of Huawei, who admittedly we don't see so many of their devices. As you say, there's been a lot of 2015 sensors that feel like they've been delivering real quality. But it's always a good reminder that actually it's not just about the hardware. There's a software thing here. And I've got to imagine the hardware in the Moto X Play is decent. Looking at the specifications of it, it appears to be a fairly standard sensor. But, the results speak for themselves, actually, particularly if you look at the comparator that you've done. The 930 is really clearly a long way ahead. And as I say, I think that can only be down to the software processing. And so I think this is more actually a fact that Motorola is lagging behind everyone else rather than the Lumia range being a long way ahead. Because we said recently, actually, the 930, it's still a very strong camera phone, but arguably things like the Galaxy S6 or something like the Note, even the Note from last year, actually, and certainly the LG G4 are ahead of the 930 in certainly some scenarios. It's kind of marginal because it does depend what you're taking pictures of. So it's going to be really interesting to see kind of the 950 that we were talking about just a few moments ago, whether Microsoft steps up the imaging capabilities, because actually that's what we've always seen with the 900 series phones. That's where we've seen either new camera modules or new bits of software. If you think last time round, it was things like rich capture, and before that it was actually things like oversampling on some of the previous generations, or something in the processing, or some new unit, and it was a 20 megapixel unit. And going back in time, there's been a pretty good track record of every iteration you're seeing something new. And in one sense, the 930, it's now been quite a while, so it's overdue kind of imaging improvement at the top end. It'll be really interesting to see where Microsoft and Lumia comes in after that, because on the past record, they might actually be able to outdo everyone else and do a bit of a leap forward. I think actually this time around, the differences will be smaller just because the improvements at the top end are getting, it's smaller and smaller. It's sort of marginal gains. But I can't imagine they sat there doing nothing for the last 12 months. And well, obviously, they've worked on having good imaging out of the, you know, things like the 640, those mid-tier and even low-end cameras. And you know, the 640 is a stonking, probably gets the title of the best mid-tier camera phone, certainly the price point it's coming in at. Will the same thing happen at the high end? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, this comparison was a good reminder that there are still plenty of models out there where you can spend, you know, what's a fair bit of money, ostensibly a pretty good camera spec, and still get some pretty appalling results.
Yeah, and of course, at the point I mentioned in the article is that the prices now are roughly equivalent, because the X-Play is coming in at about, I think it's 270, something in that region, and that, of course, you can get the 930 for that brand new these days from most stockists, so the prices are actually equal, obviously because the 930 has come down quite a bit since the launch price. One final thought on that, Rafe, just looking at the low light shot comparison I did, just shows the benefits OIS. We're now starting to see just about every smartphone with a camera over about, I'm going to say something like 300, 350, over that price tends to come with OIS in its camera. And that test shot of my the dashboard of my treadmill really shows the reason for it. It's not that you can get better shots of moving subjects in low light, my typical bugbear. You need Xenon for that, but let's leave that to one side. Just anything where you want to take a fairly low light shot indoors and your hands might be trembling, or the camera itself might be just vibrating ever so slightly, so you need something just to take out those trembles and let the shutter stay open for longer. And I think that the exposure difference in the two photographs between the 930 and the X-Play here was something like 5 times. So the fact that the 930 had OIS enabled to think, okay, really low light, we need a much longer exposure, we need more photons of light hitting the sensor, let's leave it open for, you know, a third of a second, half a second. And because of that OIS, it enables it to do it. And people often misconstrue what OIS means, but that's a really dramatic example of the difference it can make if you look at the one-to-one crops.
Absolutely. I mean, OIS, more than anything else, where it has the biggest impact is allowing you to gather more light, which ultimately results in a better picture. And in some senses, I actually think that one sample image is almost a story of, you know, smartphone cameras over the last few years, where there's been this big talk around low light performance and OIS, particularly as kind of the megapixel race hasn't exactly come to an end, but it's certainly everyone's got to kind of that sort of 20 megapixel or whichever range you choose to use, depending on which device we're talking about. And so there has been more importance on software processing and low light and OIS. And actually, that's a perfect example of it done really well and done very badly.
Yeah, so I think that's certainly on my must-have list for any camera phone, any smartphone I'm personally going to use from now on, I think. And probably most of the ones at my desk luckily do have that, so that's good. We're out of time, Rafe. I know it's at the end of a long day for both of us, so we're going to sign off for now and we'll catch everyone next week, and I'll say goodbye.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, we'll be back next week. No doubt we'll have some more Windows 10 mobile things to talk about. Probably some more rumours will appear. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Continuum and Munchkin, because that's actually an accessory that also appears to have leaked this week. And we'll also talk about some apps, because there's been a few interesting updates. But we'll save all of that for next week. Have more discussion and chat then. Thanks as ever for listening. We always welcome your feedback and questions. Send them through Twitter or email or whichever channel you prefer to use. And it's goodbye from me as well.
Did I make sense there? It's a bit of a stressful day here, so I may have waffled a bit more than normal.
Just found... I think my recording's just corrupted itself.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got to check mine's still working.
I'm glad you've done a backup.
My backup's working. It's 47 minutes recorded.